Good day, Guardians, and welcome to episode 255 of the Destiny Massive Breakdowns podcast. This is your host, Kit Kutchuk, coming to you in the wake of a pretty massive twab from Bungie. This week's blog update is huge. It's a lot. And I want to go ahead and just start by setting the expectation that I am not going to talk about the whole thing in this episode. This is going to take me at least two episodes to get through. I am going to go ahead and focus in on some of the items that I thought were really important in terms of global changes to the way that things work in the game. And we'll save some of the more specific weapon changes for a later episode, hopefully next week. So this week, we're going to talk about flinch, and we're going to talk about airborne gunplay. And we'll see where that gets us. Okay, before we get to it, I do have some housekeeping to get out of the way. First off, let's say some thank yous. This week, we do have two new patrons to thank. Thank you to Lord Skull. Appreciate your support. And thank you also to the Darth Raptor for your pledge. I appreciate it. Thank you, as ever, to all of our ongoing sponsors for your generous support. Thank you, Impetus, Starscream S13, ZenSoCal, Askian Monk, Conquer King 420, Deacon, This Moment 23, Blackhammer Tech, Binary Wolf, and The Shazzle. These Guardians go above and beyond to support Destiny Massive Breakdowns, and I hope that you do take a moment to thank them for their generosity, both our sponsors and our Guardians, anytime you see them in the wild. They are making this happen for you, and I am deeply grateful to them for it. With that said, let's roll on to another group of Guardians for whom I am very grateful. Guardians that leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews are one of the best ways to help Massive Breakdowns get heard by more people. If you love this show, if you take value from the episodes that we put together, then please take the time to create an account and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I know it's inconvenient. It can be a hassle, but it really does so much for us. And you know, and if you're looking for ways to support the show, to spread the word, this is one of the biggest ways that you can help us out. All right. With that said, let's go to this week's reviews. First up, 5 stars, as essential as ever. Hats off to Kutch for not missing a step as we enter a new era of Massive Breakdowns. Encyclopedic knowledge of the D2 sandbox, plus deft hosting, plus timely release equals always a must listen for me. I have really enjoyed the expert guests lately and hope that will become a regular thing moving forward. If you want to be up to date on the latest meta shifts and Crucible strategies, look no further. This from Ingsoc Block via Apple Podcasts here in the US of A. Thank you so much, Ingsoc Block, for that review. I appreciate it. I am glad that I am living up to your expectations. I'm going to do my best to continue to do that and deliver a great podcast every single week. Speaking of, next review, great podcast, 5 stars. And in perhaps the most succinct and yet eloquent review that I've ever read, it's just 3 consecutive okay hand emojis from It Me Jim in Great Britain. It Me Jim, thank you so much. That's one of my favorite emojis. I don't know how you knew that, but it is. Epic show, 5 stars. Love the show, love the hosts, love the info. Absolutely excellent and enjoyable. Best Destiny podcast out there. Keep it up. From Finn G here in the US of A. Thank you so much, Finn, for your review. I appreciate that. I am glad you love it. I love doing it. Okay, this might be bordering on the fastest housekeeping that we have ever done here at Destiny Massive Breakdowns. However, I'm going to throw a couple of extra things in. A couple of kind of notes and corrections, things I'm going to be coming back to, hopefully down the road in some cases. First up, the precision frame intrinsic perk. This is a known number. I actually knew this number and just could not remember it last week. Forgot that I knew it, I guess. The precision frame grants, it converts 80% of horizontal recoil to vertical. So it's essentially identical to Destiny 1's counterbalance. And I think, as I accurately said in our last episode, it's massive. It is huge, and it makes the recoil stat more or less meaningless on those weapons. So you may be able to find the difference between extreme stats on a precision frame weapon, but most of them have pretty good base recoil. So yeah, stay away from the counterbalance mod on those guns. I'm gonna stand by that advice. Also, from ZensoCal, one of the sponsors requested that we follow up on how Adagio affects accuracy-adjusted time to kill. This is a fantastic request, definitely a big miss on my part in that episode. And with a slight touch to Adagio in the current, or the upcoming Season 17 balance patch, I think I probably am going to be justified in revisiting that and maybe taking a look at how Adagio works for players who are not landing all of their crits all the time, aka quite a lot of people, quite a lot of people. So we'll take another look at that down the road. Not going to get to it today. A couple of other things, and this actually from Vikramond in the Discord wanted to throw this in while we're talking about Adagio very briefly here. Linear fusion rifles with Adagio are body shots against all resiliences. So all you have to do is get one kill and boom, it's easy farming with a linear fusion rifle in the Crucible. So that is pretty wild. That makes linear fusions actually relevant in the Crucible for the first time in quite a while, especially for legendaries. The other thing he wanted to bring a couple of other items to my attention as well, in terms of combining Adagio with other damage buffs, often pretty common. I think I'm going to save the rest of this for a revisit to the Adagio perk down the road. I think it is probably some stuff that is worth exploring, but it's a little more than I want to get into right now. And it's not super relevant to this week's topics, so we're gonna put a pin in that. But I do appreciate the feedback, Vikramond, and I hope that everyone enjoyed that Adagio episode. Adagio is still a great perk on a lot of guns. So take a look back to that episode if you want to learn more about how that perk affects weapons in the sandbox right now. Speaking of episodes that I want to point you guys to, we're going to be talking about accuracy and aim assist in Destiny 2 quite a bit in this episode. I'm going to revisit kind of a high-level overview, define some terms, explain essentially how things work, but I'm not going to go super in-depth to it because there are a lot of changes that I want to talk about and get through. So if you want maybe more of a deep dive into how accuracy and aim assist work in Destiny 2, then I would invite you to check out episode 216. This is an episode from a while ago, June actually of 2021. Mercules and I talked about a number of perks that affect accuracy and aim assist. And also, he went through what I think is one of the most straightforward explanations of how these mechanics work in the game. It's still, despite being nearly a year old, still very accurate and highly relevant and absolutely worth a listen if you've not heard it or if it's been a while and you need a refresher. We also have some great diagrams and definitions on the website. I will be linking those on Twitter, and I'll also make a note to throw those in the show notes for this episode. So take a look at that. That is going to kind of help, especially if you are more of a visual learner. I think that's going to lay it out in a way that maybe makes a little more sense to some of you. Okay, so without further ado, I'm talking about accuracy and aim assist. So I think we're going to kind of go ahead and skip. We're going to skip ahead into the 12. We're not going to start at the beginning. We're not going to talk about glaives right now. We're going to talk about airborne gunplay. So let's take a look at what Bungie is saying about airborne gunplay, and then we'll try to break down what it means for you. So, Chris Proctor writes, before getting to buildcrafting, we've made a fundamental change to the modifiers applied while airborne. Your primary weapons will have less randomness in projectile accuracy in most cases. You'll have less aim assist instead, and will need precise aiming to land your shots without building heavily into airborne. We've added a new weapon stat, Airborne Effectiveness, which is present on all weapons except those where being airborne doesn't have an effect. Swords, for example, which maps onto aspects of airborne gunplay using these guidelines. So, with little to no investment, an airborne stat of 0 to 30, a character will have a smaller accuracy penalty than retail, but will have significantly lower aim assist. With minimal investment, a 31 to 50 airborne stat, a character will have around the same in-air accuracy as Icarus-equipped weapons do currently, with noticeably lower aim assist. With substantial investment, 51 to 70 airborne stat, a character will have better accuracy than retail weapons with Icarus, with fewer misses due to randomness, but with reduced aim assist. With specialized investment, a 71 to 99 airborne stat, a character will have no airborne accuracy penalty, with very slightly less aim assist. And with full investment, 100 airborne stat, a character will have no airborne accuracy penalty and the same aim assist that they do on the ground. So, what does all of that mean? Well, let's define some terms. Because they're throwing some words around in there, and I think it's really important that we know exactly what it is that we're saying. So let's talk about first, accuracy. What is accuracy in Destiny 2? Well, accuracy in general means, you know, how likely is a shot to go where it's intended? And that is pretty much what it means in Destiny 2. So there are two types of accuracy in Destiny 2. There's projectile accuracy, which is how likely a shot is to get the maximum bullet bend deflection within aim assist effective distance, or to go perfectly straight outside of aim assist effective distance. So that's a complicated definition, right? I don't expect you to get that on the first listen. So let's go through it and break it down. Projectile accuracy, the accuracy of your projectile, of your bullet, when you're firing your weapon in Destiny 2. It's essentially a numerical stat that indicates how likely that shot is to be affected by aim assist to the maximum degree when aim assist is active. Or if you're just firing at a wall or at some target that is too far away for aim assist to apply, then it's how likely that shot is to go perfectly straight. So the other way to look at accuracy is through error angle, or what is commonly referred to as the accuracy cone. Now you'll see some really helpful diagrams of this on our website, so I'd encourage you to check those out. The error angle essentially indicates how far off from center a projectile can deflect away from, you know, whatever it is you're trying to hit. You're aiming at a guardian's head. The accuracy cone, or error angle, indicates in the game how far off that bullet can be, or how inaccurate that shot might be. So that's accuracy. It's essentially how likely is aim assist to apply, and how inaccurate is your shot going to be. The one important thing to know as we move forward here is that range and zoom decrease your error angle and make your shots more accurate, aka they make your shots go in a straight line more often. Okay, that's accuracy. Let's talk about aim assist. Aim assist also consists of two factors. The first is bullet bend. So there's an angle for the aim assist cone. And this angle essentially draws a circle in the game. It draws a cone that shows how far the bullet fired can deflect away from the center of that cone to hit a target, so long as that target is within your aim assist's effective distance or range. So if your aim assist is effective out to 20 meters, there's a target that is 16 meters away. They're within that effective distance. The aim assist cone determines, will your shot bend to hit that target or not? If they're within your aim assist cone, then the shot is going to bend toward that target, and the projectile accuracy will determine how far toward that target that shot is going to bend. So that's one of the ways that accuracy and aim assist interact. Now, the diameter of the aim assist cone is increased as the aim assist stat is increased. Makes sense. Range increases the effective distance of your aim assist. Also makes sense. Zoom greatly increases the effective distance of your aim assist, and it also narrows the diameter of the aim assist cone. Now, that's an important note. Making the diameter narrower essentially means that when you are aiming down sights, you're zoomed in, targets at very close range will be less likely to be affected by the aim assist of your weapon because the cone is narrower. So the cone projects out much further, but up close, you're much less likely to have a target within that cone. Your bullets are more likely to just go in a straight line. Essentially, when zoomed in, it's much easier to hit things far away, harder to hit things close up. Pretty logical. Makes sense. All right, let's move on to part two of aim assist. Now, the second part of aim assist only applies to players using a controller. So this will be console players and PC players that are using a controller. Mouse and keyboard players do not have reticle friction, which is probably a good thing because it would make it very difficult to play. Reticle friction, on the other hand, is really, really helpful for controller players. It honestly would be, I think, much more difficult to play the game without reticle friction on a controller. So reticle friction is more or less what it sounds like. It slows down your reticle as it approaches and moves across a target. So when that target is within aim assist's effective range, your reticle slows down as it approaches and covers the target, and then it attempts to stick to and follow that target as it moves through your effective range. This is why when you are aiming at a target in Destiny and someone else, another enemy, runs across your field of view, they'll pull your reticle off target. It can be very annoying, but that is reticle friction in action. That is something that won't happen to you with a mouse and keyboard. So just something to know there. The strength of this effect is increased as your aim assist stat is increased, and range and zoom again increase the effective distance of your reticle friction, just as they do with the bullet bend. Okay, hopefully you're still with me. Like I said before, I don't want to spend an entire episode talking about this because we already spent a lot of time in episode 216 talking about how this stuff works. And we've got some great information on the website that lays it out visually, which I think is going to be much more helpful for most people. So please, if you have questions, if you don't understand how it works, take a look at that stuff and then hit me up on Twitter at DestinyMBP and let me know any questions, anything that's not clear, and I'll do my best to clear it up for you. Okay, back to the TWAB. So what is happening with airborne effectiveness then? Well, right now, when you jump into the air with a weapon in Destiny 2, and this is true of any weapon, although it's more true of some than others, let's say you jump into the air with an auto rifle. You'll notice that your hipfire reticle immediately gets massive, and that's because your weapon is immediately far, far less accurate. And your shots are going to just fly wildly. It'll be very difficult to land anything consistently. So this effect is going to be changed, which I think is really interesting. This is going to be a dramatic change That is certainly going to encourage some people to spec very hard into it, and others won't be super affected because they already weren't spending a lot of time airborne. So what's happening here is that the aim assist of the weapon in air, so far as I know, did not change. However, the accuracy became so bad that your aim assist wasn't super relevant because the shots were just going incredibly wide, regardless of the aim assist on the weapon. In other words, the error angle was very, very wide. The projectile accuracy was very low. So the odds of a shot going straight were not good. They're changing this. And I think that that is probably a good thing. And certainly it's going to highlight the players who actually do have good aim in the air versus those that only think they have good aim. So the accuracy here is going to be smaller with airborne effectiveness starting in Season 17. So your shots will be less likely to just go flying off wildly with any given weapon while in the air. The aim assist stat will be much lower. And again, what that means is that you will have less bullet bend and you will have less reticle friction. This means that if you are not able to point your reticle directly at the target you're trying to hit, the game is not really going to help you out while you're in the air. At least, it's not going to help you out unless you have really pumped that airborne accuracy stat up. And if you do pump it up, then it's going to feel like you are just firing, you know, pretty much as if you were on the ground, except you won't be. So that more or less is what's going on. I hope that that makes sense. And let's move on and talk about some of the other stuff going on here. So this new stat has been hand-tuned on all exotic weapons. Everything that shipped in Season 16 or that will ship in Season 17. And everything that's ever shipped as Trials of Osiris or Nightfall loot. So all of the Trials drops, all of the Nightfall drops have this stat hand-tuned. Older legendary weapons will get a default value set per weapon archetype to a value just below the middle of the allowed stat range. They do go on to give us everything we need to know. A ton of info as far as what those stat ranges are. So I think we can kind of, you know, take a guess at where certain things are going to fall. Now, this stat is going to be a hidden stat at Season 17 launch, similar to aim assist and recoil direction. We'll be able to see those stats in the API, so you'll be able to see them through the various tools out there, Ishtar, Dim, and any other API tools that you might happen to use. Light.gg, D2 Gunsmith, all that kind of stuff. That's going to make this accessible to you. Now, this stat, as I've already outlined, influences several aspects of airborne gunplay. Aim assist cone penalty angles. In other words, the auto aim angle, auto aim being their term for bullet bend, and the reticle friction slash adhesion angle, which we talked about as well. So this is going to be a very high penalty to those angles at zero airborne stat, and low or no penalty at 100 or close to 100. The accuracy cone penalty angle for primary weapons. A lower penalty than currently at zero stat. And no penalty at 60 to 100 airborne stat. So that's really interesting right there. First off, all primary weapons currently get a massive accuracy cone penalty. The accuracy cone gets much wider, which means your weapon is much less accurate when you are in the air. So that penalty is going to be not quite as bad with even zero airborne accuracy or airborne effectiveness. once season 17 drops. And then as long as you get your airborne effectiveness to at least 60, you will not have an accuracy penalty on your primary weapons in the air. That is good to know. That is going to be key to hit that 60 point and get your accuracy right. That will also tell you, are you relying on the weapon's accuracy or are you relying on the weapon's aim assist? If it's aim assist, if it's the auto aim and the reticle friction that you need in order to land shots in the air, well, then 60 is probably not going to be enough. If you don't rely fully on that, if your own aim is actually pretty good while in the air, then getting your airborne effectiveness stat to 60 is probably going to be enough for you. So let's see, headshot aim assistance. So this is how likely the weapon is to land a critical hit versus a body shot when there is aim assist involved. So at zero airborne effectiveness, it's not helping you at all. It's essentially as if you're hip firing the weapon all the time. And then you get 1 degree at 100 stat. Now, 1 degree sounds like not very much, but again, remember, these are cones. These cones extend for meters and meters, tens of meters. So 1 degree becomes a pretty significant amount of cone size over a period of time. Fractions of a degree really can be very meaningful when it comes to aim assist. So a full degree at 100 stat, I think that seems pretty reasonable. Now, it's just half a degree on sniper rifles. And so what this controls is how forgiving headshots are while airborne. If it's zero, you actually have to pinpoint precisely hit the head to get the headshot. If you're off at all, it's a body shot or a miss. And aim assist is not going to help you out. So having that 1 degree really is going to be pretty key. That's going to allow you to be slightly off, slightly below, slightly above, and still get the critical hit. And I think this is really important to note because currently, while airborne, players are getting full aim assist. Remember, there's no aim assist penalty while airborne right now. So this is going to dramatically change airborne gunplay. Suddenly, relying on having an extremely high aim assist stat to land three taps with 140 hand cannons is not going to be a viable strategy. There's another change in this 12 that I'm not going to get into that also sort of forks that strategy over. But I think that this is probably a good thing. This is going to very dramatically increase the skill gap for airborne gunplay. Players who do not have good aim are going to need to spec hard into airborne gunplay in order to be as good at it now as they are, or better. Players who actually do have good in-air accuracy, who are good at aiming their shots while in motion in the air, those players are going to have a much easier time adapting to this and are going to shine against players who are not as good. This shift where instead of penalizing accuracy and leaving aim assist alone, they penalize accuracy some, but heavily penalize aim assist instead. I think that's going to be probably good for the skill gap in the Crucible, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out. Okay, let's keep moving here because there is a lot going on. Pellet shotgun spread angle, plus 25% at zero stat, zero at 100 stat. In other words, if you jump into the air and you fire a pellet shotgun, those pellets are going to spread 25% wider than they did before, which means you really need to be right on top of somebody and have your reticle entirely on their body in order to try and keep those pellets as tight as possible. So that's going to heavily reduce the range of a pellet shotgun in the air, at least if its airborne effectiveness stat is very low, with a very high airborne effectiveness that this, you know, again, is not going to make a significant difference. You might have a couple of percentage points at the upper level. We're going to have to see exactly how that scales. The bottom line is that I think they're sending us a message that they don't want us using pellet shotguns in the air. Or if we do, we need to be following up with a melee. All right, so again, just to revisit, what all of this so far means is that when you're in the air, you are less likely to miss due to random inaccuracy. However, you are more likely to miss if you are actually inaccurate and you are not shooting directly at the target, because aim assist is going to be much less helpful. All right, so just some numerical examples so we can kind of see exactly how this is all playing out. So right now, hand cannon, the airborne accuracy penalty, 0.667 degrees. Remember I said 1 degree is a big difference. So this is 2/3 of a degree wider that your cone is getting. That is a pretty significant penalty. That's why when you jump into the air and just hip fire a hand cannon, you're probably not going to hit anything. After this change takes effect, at zero stat, the accuracy penalty is 0.45. That's a significant buff right there in terms of the accuracy specifically, not taking into account the massive loss of aim assist that you're going to have, which does make this a nerf, right? Flat out, it will be less inaccurate, but the game is going to do a lot less to help you out. That said, you push that hand cannon's airborne effectiveness stat up to 60 and jump into the air with it, and you have no accuracy penalty. That is phenomenal. I think a lot of people are going to really be able to take advantage of that. It is going to take some more investment, and we'll have to take a look at the investment side of things in just a minute here. So they do talk also about a sniper rifle. Sniper rifles, of course, are wildly inaccurate in the air. Currently a 3-degree penalty to the accuracy cone, which is massive. After this, it's still going to be 2 degrees, which is still pretty massive. They're wildly inaccurate in the air, as they should be. After this change at 60 stat, it goes to 0.8 degrees. Still pretty inaccurate, but less ridiculously so. And if you do push it up to 100, then your sniper rifle will be perfectly accurate in the air, which is not something that is currently achievable. So that could really change the game for people who lean into this hard. I should say that's not achievable for most Guardians. Some Warlocks can avoid in-air inaccuracy penalties. And boy, they are only going to become more effective after this. All right, so airborne effectiveness. This stat comes from three sources. All of the weapons have a base stat level that they start at. Your subclass can also grant airborne effectiveness through different abilities, and then armor can also grant bonuses to your airborne effectiveness. I'm not going to go through each and every weapon's airborne effectiveness on this podcast. You guys don't want to listen to me reading off a list of weapon types and numbers. You know, I think these are all pretty straightforward, pretty logical. You know, what we see in general is that primary weapons tend to have much better ranges for the in-air accuracy or the airborne effectiveness stat, while special weapons tend to have pretty terrible ranges for airborne effectiveness. And heavy weapons, it varies a little bit. It varies a little bit. Generally better than special weapons, which is interesting. But heavy weapons tend, in the average Crucible match, to have a lot less impact on the overall flow of the match. They tend to be more of a win-more situation as opposed to really determining who wins a match most of the time. All right, so you've got your base stats from weapons. And I do want to note as well, They call this out and they provide some examples. Exotic weapons tend to be on the higher end of the airborne effectiveness stat range. And in some cases will actually exceed it, except for specific examples that are already super strong, such as Ace of Spades, the Chaperone. You know, those weapons are both super good right now. They don't need to also dominate in air. The Chaperone actually has a terrible airborne effectiveness at 1, which is probably fair. However, some other weapons may exceed the range. Sweet Business, for example, gets 27, whereas the auto rifle range for legendary weapons is 0 to 25. So it slightly exceeds it. I don't expect to see a ton of people going nuts with Sweet Business in air, but hey, prove me wrong. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other places that you can bump up your airborne effectiveness. The Icarus Grip and Adept Icarus Grip weapon mods both provide plus 15 airborne effectiveness going forward. That's going to be a shift from their previous scaler that they applied, which was pretty massive. This is going to be, I think, generally a nerf to that mod. That mod is going to be less of a difference maker than it is right now. Less mandatory. I think there are going to be ways to build so that if you can get your chosen weapon up to, say, 60 as a pretty reasonable target, you may decide that you don't need Icarus, which is nice. It opens up that mod slot to do other things. That said, for a lot of weapons and a lot of people, I think it's going to probably stay, continue to feel mandatory. It is certainly going to make it easier to get the airborne effectiveness up. And if you really want to try to max it out, you're probably going to need the mod. All right, so subclasses, we've got Heat Rises giving plus 70 while Heat Rises is active, i.e. when you eat your grenade. This is a massive, massive bump. This is why Warlocks essentially can ignore in-air accuracy if they're playing Heat Rises. It's super, super, super strong. Tempered Metal, plus 20 after getting a solar weapon kill. And we've also got the Whisper of Hedron's Stasis Fragment, which will give plus 20 airborne effectiveness after freezing a target. So, two of those give you a small bump after killing or freezing a target. One of those gives you a massive, massive bump when you eat your grenade. Is Heat Rises too good? I don't know, but it's pretty good. I'm curious to see how this all plays out. All right, so we've also got armor. Exotic armors grant bonuses either to all weapons or to specific types of weapons. And I am going to go through these because this is a much shorter list, and I think that these are a little more relevant. So Foe Tracer gets plus 20 to all. This is great. Foe Tracer has been lackluster for a long time, and having it be kind of a catch-all airborne effectiveness buff, well, I guess it's something when it comes to that exotic. It's something. Mechaneer's Trick Sleeves, plus 50 to sidearms. Pretty much makes sense. Oathkeeper, plus 40 to bows. Sealed Amkara Grasp, plus 50 to all for 5 seconds after a melee hit. Lucky Pants, plus 20 to hand cannons after readying a hand cannon. So that's probably going to be slightly more viable option for some people. Stompies, this is the big one. I guess I am going to talk about it. Woof, Stompies, minus 50 airborne effectiveness to all weapons. This is throwing hands right here. Like this is a big, big hit. Although if we do look at the charts that Bungie provided for exotic usage in the Crucible, I think we can see why they felt they needed to take a big step with Stompies and push it out of usage. Stompies has had its time in the sun, right? I think that's fair to say. Stompies has had its time to shine, and that time is over. It is no longer. So Stompies are still going to be super effective if you are using them for movement only, or if you are fighting on the ground. If you are attempting to bounce your way everywhere across the map and land shots as you do it, It's about to get a lot harder. That's about all I can say. That minus 50 is not going to be something that you can really overcome. I've seen some people saying, hey, maybe this should have been smaller if they just wanted to touch it. Minus 50 feels like a lot. And I think the reason that they went so hard on Stompies is twofold. One, it is far and away the most used hunter exotic in the Crucible. It's not even close. It's not even close. And they want to push some variety there, see some other exotics get their time to shine. Two, there are a lot of ways to bump up airborne effectiveness. And I think their concern is that if they went light, that some people would feel like they could just ignore that bonus. You know, if it was a minus 10, some people would feel like, I can overcome that. You know, I can just play, I can just build really hard into airborne effectiveness. And, you know, maybe it won't be great, but it's still going to be just as good as with Icarus, and I don't have to worry about it. Right? Because remember, all you have to do to match current Icarus's accuracy is get to about 31 or so. Now, you would still have a lot less aim assist, but for a very good player, that would still leave Stompies being a pretty viable choice. They want to kill Stompies for right now. Like, they're good with Stompies just not being part of the meta anymore. And I think that there's no real sugarcoat in it. Like, they wanted to give Stompies a kick to the curb for a couple of months. And we'll see if this gets rolled back in any way. I think it probably will at some point. But they came out and said, hey, Season 17, don't use Stompies. And so we won't, right? All right, no backup plans, plus 30 to shotguns. Actium War Rig, plus 30 to auto rifles and machine guns. Hollow Fire Heart, plus 20 to all weapons. Lion Rampant, plus 50, but hip fire only. Peacekeepers, plus 42, submachine guns. Peregrine Greaves, plus 20 to all. Eye of Another World, plus 15 to all. Astrocyte Verse, plus 30 to all. Ophidian Aspect, plus 10 to all. That exotic just... I mean, that could have been a bigger buff, right? That's a pretty popular choice. I think that's reasonable. It doesn't hurt, but it's not going to help you a ton. Necrotic Grips, plus 30 to Weapons of Sorrow. Wings of Sacred Dawn, plus 50 to all. Dang. Could we make it easier for Warlocks to shoot from midair? I think the answer is no, we could not. Boots of the Assembler, plus 30 to Lumina. And yes, the Remora build is still viable. And then we've got a redacted exotic plus 30 to fusion rifles and linear fusion rifles. Boy, that's going to be real tasty. Okay, so in general, if you want good airborne effectiveness, you have to pick a weapon with a high stat, put Icarus on it, and equip an exotic armor piece that helps, and possibly also add in a subclass aspect, fragment, or ability. If you want the best possible airborne effectiveness, you're going to have to do them all. They say it right there in the TWAB. I'm not bringing you anything new or unpredictable right there, right? If you want to be good in the air, you got to lean into it now. And if you do lean into it, your weapon is going to be better in the air. And if you don't lean into it, well, probably going to have a hard time landing shots unless you are actually just really accurate. So there it is. That's airborne effectiveness. That's about all I can say about it until we see it in the game. It's a dramatic change. They're definitely stirring the pot with this one. And I think a lot of people are going to be real upset. I think when it comes out, people are probably going to chill out a bit. And I think people are going to discover that if you lean into it, you actually can be super, super effective in the air. And it's going to open up some new playstyles. Those playstyles just will not involve Stompies, flat out. All right, so let's talk about another mechanic now. Let's shift gears. We're going to stop thinking about accuracy and aim assist, but we are not going to stop thinking about how hard it occasionally is to hit things, especially when you're getting shot, right? So aim assist, accuracy, these mechanics determine how likely you are to hit a shot. However, They can get thrown off if you are also being shot, as is pretty much always the case. So flinch is an aim deflection that applies when you receive damage. In general, people don't love flinch. I am one of those people. I'm not a big fan of the mechanic. I would not be super sad if it went away, but it's here, so let's deal with it, and let's take a look at what Bungie is doing to make flinch something that we can really effectively work against going forward. So this is very interesting. They've rebuilt the stability weapon stat to grant flinch resistance in addition to its other effects, with a maximum flinch resistance of 10 to 25% depending on the weapon archetype. With this change, players can build for flinch resistance more easily on weapons that feel flinch more than others, less so on special weapons, which they don't want to be easier to use when under fire, which again, I'm not upset about. We're trying to push primary weapon play, right? I didn't talk about their goals, but that is one of the goals that they've introduced here. They want to continue to push primary weapon play. They've talked about this for a long time, and this change is, along with the airborne gunplay change, I think going to continue guiding players to build into fighting with their primary weapons. Bungie still has some work to do on the abilities side of things in terms of adjusting how abilities work in order to meet that goal, but we're not going to get into that in this episode. Okay, so let's take a look. How does flinch work? So the way flinch works is when you get hit by a shot, your reticle is deflected a distance that is essentially a factor of the damage that you took. So what that means is that high damage weapons tend to flinch you much harder than low damage weapons, even if that low damage weapon is hitting you more frequently. The direction that you are flinched is effectively random. And yeah, that's about all that there is to it. So generally, it's going to push you away from the target. However, aim assist does interact with this, which results in, you know, particularly with snipers we've seen in the past, occasionally results in the aim assist causing the flinch to flinch you back on target, allowing you to hit shots while under flinch. It's a funky mechanic. I wish it didn't work that way. If they were going to do flinch, then I'd like it to not be helpful, right? It should at least do what it says on the tin. Anyways, again, perhaps not something to dive deep into on this episode, but let's take a look. Here's the breakdown from the TWAB. Flinch resistance for weapons with 100 stability. 25% for auto rifles, submachine guns, and bows. 20% for pulse rifles, scout rifles, sidearms, and machine guns. 15% for hand cannons and trace rifles. And 10% for fusion rifles, shotguns, sniper rifles, grenade launchers of all types, linear fusion rifles in both slots, and rocket launchers. So what does this tell us first off? All right, special weapons, heavy weapons, they're going to get hit harder by flinch, right? Just flat out, flinch is going to affect them a lot more than your primaries. The other thing we see here is that in general, rapid fire weapons are going to be a little bit better at resisting flinch than weapons that fire chunk damage. And so, you know, we see hand cannons as the chunkiest of chunk damage primaries have the least resistance to flinch. We see pulse rifles, scout rifles, sidearms. We see those with a little more resistance. And then auto rifles and submachine guns we see with the most. Now, bows are a bit of an outlier there, but that's because bows are just weird. And in general, you know, if you're just doing a straight up gunfight, you're just standing facing each other, shooting at each other, the bow is pretty much going to lose every time. So for a bow, being able to land a shot under fire is basically mandatory. And if flinch affects a bow too much, then the bow becomes literally unusable. So I think that's why the bows are a bit of an outlier in that schema. We also see machine guns as a bit of an outlier for heavy weapons with 20% flinch reduction. And that's because machine guns kind of are a weird heavy weapon, right? They're not a massive damage output all at once type weapon, which is what all of the other heavy weapons are. They are a sustained damage. They're a primary heavy weapon, they're weird. And so they get a bit more flinch resistance, because if you can't land all those bullets, you just end up wasting ammo, making machine guns worse than they already are. Trace rifles are also a bit of an outlier, again, because they're a weird special weapon. So it's basically, it's kind of the ones that don't fit the normal definitions. You know, special weapons in general are one-shot kills. Trace rifles aren't. Therefore, they get a little bit more flinch resistance. Seems fair to me. Okay, so let's take a look here. Now, the stability stat is going to be influencing how much of that percentage is actually in play. And the way that they've outlined it in the TWAB, you are essentially going to be having 0% flinch resistance at 20 stability. So the scale really runs from 20 to 100 for stability in terms of flinch resistance, running from 0 to the maximum, whatever that maximum is for that particular weapon. And they say that weapons below 20 stability will actually have a small flinch resistance penalty. In other words, your flinch resistance will actually be worse. It will be less than zero. You will be flinched more. So I think the message here is, you know, you probably want at least 20 stability on any given weapon. That said, you know, certain one-hit kill weapons, depending on how you're using them, yeah, you may not care. You know, if you're really good with a sniper and you don't typically get flinched, or you don't care about flinch, yeah, run with 5 stability. You know, maybe it's all right. All right. So another big change. It's not just stability that's adding flinch resistance. The resilience stat also grants flinch resistance now. So Titans, hey, congratulations on the buff. This is going to make resilience even more important. And this looks like it's probably a linear progression. So you get 0% at 0 resilience. You get 10% at 100 resilience. So I think it's safe to assume that you probably get 6% at 60 resilience. We'll have to verify that in the game, but it would be pretty wacky if it did not work that way. All right, so they provide some examples here. I'm not going to really go through these, but you know, essentially what we see is that if you want to minimize the amount of flinch that you are experiencing, you need to have a weapon that has high stability, and you need to put a lot of points into resilience. And then if you have another effect that applies, such as, you know, say no distractions, Sorrow Synergy, Rally Barricade, anything like that, then those are all going to just kind of stack up multiplicatively, and can result in almost no flinch getting through to you. You know, the example they provide, 90% flinch resistance, that's a pretty massive difference. That's virtually no flinch. So that's it. I think that's all we're going to get through in this episode. Like I've said this in a couple of places, but this is a huge, huge TWAB. They've given us so much to think about and talk about, and it's just way too much for me to get into, especially day one as it drops. Like I really would like to take some time and think through some of this and give it the due diligence that it deserves. That said, these two things, I felt that I had the info to address right away: how they're going to work, what we can look forward to, are they good things or bad things? I think in terms of quality of game, I'm in favor of these changes. The flinch resistance, I'm just 100% in favor of. I don't know who would be upset about that. I think it's a great thing. Yes, please give me less flinch. That's great. I'm down for it. The airborne gunplay change is going to be more polarizing. And that's because it is going to make airborne gunplay harder for most people, especially if you don't lean into it. That said, if you lean hard into it, again, airborne gunplay will actually end up being easier for most people. But you're going to have to lean into it hard. You can't just like sort of sometimes expect to be accurate in the air. You've got to spec out in order to make it happen. And if you don't be shooting people in the air, basically, is the message here, right? So either that's your playstyle or it's not. Okay, that brings us to the end of another episode of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. I hope that you have found this informative. I hope that I have given you some food for thought. And I hope that you let me know if I messed something up, got something wrong, or didn't make something clear. I'm still learning along with the rest of you, and I am just looking forward to more good times in Destiny. I will see you out there. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at DestinyMBP. You'll also find in that Twitter profile a link to join the Discord, as you will in our show notes for this episode and all of our episodes. Also in the show notes, you'll find links to our Patreon if you are interested in supporting our podcasts. You'll find a link to the PvE podcast. Podcast Versus Enemies is our PvE show centered around in-game Destiny PvE, hosted by three fantastic guardians who are incredibly skilled and actually know what they're doing, unlike me. Check it out. You'll also find a link to our Star Wars show, Beneath Twin Suns, hosted by myself and Mercules. If you're looking for that old school Destiny Massive Breakdowns dynamic, it's still right there on Beneath Twin Suns. We're just talking about Star Wars instead, and we have some spicy takes going on with the sequel trilogy right now. Be sure to check that out. All right, Guardians. This is Kutch signing off. Peace.